You are not going to witness the consecration. You are going to participate in the consecration process.
संयुक्तं नित्यं ध्यायन्ति योगिनः कामदं मोक्षदं चैव ओंकाराय नमो नमः.
It feels so wonderful to be here, so many people for this really wonderful process.
This is the first time I'm coming here, and needless to say, it's a mind-blowing experience.
I just feel so blessed to be here. I'm looking forward to the experience.
This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for me. I've been dreaming of coming here and participating in some process of this kind.
समुद्रं सुमुखं त्रिनेत्रं जटाधरं पार्वती वामभागं सदाशिवं रुद्रमनन्तरूपं चिदंबरेशं हृदि भावयामि.
Coming 2 days, one thing I want all of you to understand is in many ways this situation is not like any of the situations that you might have been in. In the sense, you are not going to witness the consecration, you are going to participate in the consecration process. So it's a different level of responsibility, it's a different level of focus, it's a different level of existence altogether. It would be so much simpler and easier to consecrate it and then invite you for celebration. The nature of the consecration is such that there is room for participation. So I thought, nobody should… all those who are willing, they should not miss this possibility and this privilege of being able to manifest the divine, rather than always looking up to it, being able to manifest this in some way. All privileges always come with responsibility. All privileges which allow you a certain perch also means that if you do not conduct yourself properly, you could fall off. So, the higher the privilege, the more responsibility and involvement it demands. So now, you're in a consecration process, not as a witness, but as a participant. You need to understand, in any of these processes, whether inner engineering, Isha yoga programs, bhavaspandanas, samyamas, you could be here and there. I was here, here and here, every moment of those days. If I was here and there, you wouldn't be here today. I was on the dot every moment, that's why the programs are what they are. But you were here and there. Now our time has come, you got to be here, here and here. There's no here and there. Because knowingly or unknowingly, you have come as a participant in the consecration process, not as a witness, not to receive the prasadam, but to make it happen. There's a difference. There's a difference between going to the temple and building the temple. This is like building the temple, it's a different game. So I want you here, absolutely here, it's very important. We will be doing a certain chant, I want all of you to give yourself totally into this. This is about sensitizing the space, which includes you. For whatever we're going to do next, the space has to be vibrant enough, and you have to be vibrant enough. The chant is like you're gossiping with the Adiyogi, okay? So, just gossip with him, don't gossip with anybody else. Om Sarvebhyo Devebhyo Namaha. Panchabhutaya Namaha. Aum Satguruve Namaha. Aum Shri Prithviyai Namaha. Aum Adiyogishwaraya Namaha.
Buddha-marikābhyam, dhūrī-kṛtānam-brā. त्रिदलं त्रिगुणाकारं त्रिनेत्रं क्षत्रियायुधं त्रिजन्मपापसंहारं एकबिल्वं शिवार्पणम् अखण्डबिल्वपत्रेण पूजिते नन्दिकेश्वरे शुध्यन्ति सर्वपापेभ्यो एकबिल्वं शिवार्पणम् अखण्डबिल्वपत्रेण पूजिते नन्दिकेश्वरे शुध्यन्ति सर्वपापेभ्यो एकबिल्वं शिवार्पणम् शिलामेकां विभ्राणां जातु चार्पये सोमयज्ञमहापुण्यम् एकबिल्वं शिवार्पणम् शालिग्रामशिलामेकां विभ्राणां जातु चार्पये सोमयज्ञमहापुण्यम् एकबिल्वं शिवार्पणम् शिवार्पणम् लक्ष्म्यास्तनुत उत्पन्नम् महादेवस्य च प्रियम् बिल्ववृक्षम् प्रयच्छामि एकबिल्वम् शिवार्पणम् दर्शनम् बिल्ववृक्षस्य सर्षणम् पापनाशनम् अघोरपापसंहारम् एकबिल्वं शिवार्पणम् दर्शनम् बिल्ववृक्षस्य स्पर्शनम् पापनाशनम् अघोरपापसंहारम् एकबिल्वं शिवार्पणम् काशीक्षेत्रनिवासं च कालभैरवदर्शनम् प्रयागमाधवं दृष्ट्वा एकबिल्वं शिवार्पणम् काशीक्षेत्रनिवासं च कालभैरवदर्शनम् प्रयागमाधवं दृष्ट्वा एकबिल्वं शिवार्पणम् ग्रे ಸತ ಶಿವ ರೂಪಾಯ ಏಕಬಿಲ್ವಂ ಶಿವಾರ್ಪಣಂ ಮೂಲತೋ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ರೂಪಾಯ ಮಧ್ಯತೋ ವಿಷ್ಣು ರೂಪಿಣೇ ಅಗ್ರತ ಶಿವ ರೂಪಾಯ ಏಕಬಿಲ್ವಂ ಶಿವಾರ್ಪಣಂ.
The fundamental process of consecration is to sensitize the place. So, this process gone well, tomorrow we will go through the consecration process, which will involve a certain element of like a tightrope walking. Now I won't make you walk. If I'm on the tightrope, what will you do? If I'm on the tightrope, what do? You must hold your breath and just be there, absolutely. We need that cooperation from you. You've done well today, but tomorrow is crucial. So in preparation for that, when you sit down before you sleep, if you can establish the mantra in the body, you could also be a powerful instrument for consecration process to happen. Spend some time on it, pay some attention, see if you can maintain this awareness of the mantra in the body. There are two levels of consecration happening here. One is to consecrate the linga, which is still in the waiting. We will go at it today evening, which is the most important part of what we're doing here. And the other is the seat, to create a heart seat, so that because of the kind of thing that we're planning to do in this hall, we need a substantial support. The reason why we wanted to create an Adiyogi Alayam is because we want to bring back classical yoga in its purest form. Not the studio yoga, not the book yoga, not the kind of things that are being done in the world. proper classical yoga, which is a phenomenally powerful science. Only thing is, if you were given a choice between fundamental physics, computer science, software training, commerce, or just simply a degree, which would you choose? Many people would choose one, you know, two, three, four, five, but not the one. There's only one science. When it comes to the world, there's only one science, which is physics. Everything else is just an offshoot of that. But how many people in the world, how many people in the universities in the world do you think are studying physics today? Fundamental physics is studied by an extremely minuscule number of people because people's understanding of science is iPhone. Right now, people think that is a great scientific achievement. It is just a fancy gadget. I'm not trying to pull down the iPhone, it's useful. But it is just a little gadget, that is not science. Creating that is also not science, just a little bit of technology. Fundamental physics is the science. Similarly, in yoga, there is a classical science, which is the science. If you weaken the physics, the reason why today you have all these electronics and all these gadgets, people are going to the moon and Mars and wherever, is because first 30, 40, 50 years of scientific development, they invested in fundamental physics. You're reaping the benefit of that now. You will see after 25, 30 years, if there is not too many people, which already is the truth, if not too many people are into fundamental physics, you will see nothing new will come out of science after some time, because the basic scientific knowledge is missing. Some idiot who's got the name of a yogi, I don't know, maybe his parents made the mistake or he took it on, I don't know. He says, yoga made easy. Sit on a chair and do this and this and this. This muscle will work, this muscle will work, this muscle will work, yoga made easy. A monkey knows this. A monkey knows if he hangs from a tree like this, this muscle will develop, this muscle will develop, this muscle will develop. A chimpanzee knows it even better. You don't need to be a yogi to know that if you do this on the chair, this muscle will develop. So this is yoga made easy. So I thought it's good I read it today. So, this is what is happening because there is no investment in the concrete science of yoga. Benefits people are trying to reap. So, one fundamental reason is we want to re-establish classical yoga. We want to build people who are willing to invest their life into the profoundness of yoga, not getting fancy benefits out of it, not hanging onto a chair or a tree and thinking you're doing yoga. If you hang upside down from a tree, you will be doing yoga for some time. If you jump off a mountain, head down, you will be doing Shirasasana for some time. Yes? So, to bring back that dimension, and that's not going to happen by instruction only. A phenomenal energy is needed, otherwise yoga cannot be taught. Without a phenomenal sense of energy, no yoga can be taught. If you teach yoga without creating a vessel of energy, then that yoga is not yoga, that is just a farce. That farce is going all over the place right now. So, because we created it, this Adi Yogi Alayam with that intention, we want a powerful space. We want this to be such a vibrant space that if you simply sit here, really tune into what's happening here in this hall or what will be happening here in the next 24 hours, You must be able to know all the Yoga Sutras. You never have to open a book, never have to listen to anybody. You just have to energy tune yourself and it'll be there. Of course, somebody will assist you a little bit, but if I say a word, if your energy does not throb with it, you don't know anything about it. You just know words. Words are not yoga. If you listen to something, that must happen in the system. Otherwise, that is not yoga. To make that happen, you need a powerful space. Otherwise, such things will not happen. Tomorrow, when I say tomorrow, after our chapter is over, I didn't mean tomorrow, tomorrow. Tomorrow, when we are not here, there still has to be a space which will teach yoga. Maybe there will be just a teacher, maybe there will be no guru here, maybe there will be just a teacher. Even if a teacher stands here, suddenly things should come out of them that they do not know. They should begin to say things, they should begin to feel things, they should begin to experience things that they themselves do not know. Only then we can transmit this. That's why so much effort is going into this and will further many more things have to be done with this. As I said, there are two dimensions of consecration happening simultaneously here. One is the seat, which is essentially to… mainly if we have to describe it in terms of human system, it's not exactly like that, but it's like the bull outside, it's the Mooladhara. The nearest quality that I can ascribe to it, it's Mooladhara. It creates a stable base to sit on always. This is very needed because you may already know this. One thing that was said in the Yoga Sutras about the Hatha Yoga is Sukham Stiram Asana, an asana which is comfortable and stable, that's the asana. So stability, balance is the most important aspect, whatever we wish to do. How far one goes, how high one climbs, is not a question of strength alone, not a question of intelligence alone, not a question of knowledge alone, not a question of external conduciveness. Stability, balance is the most important quality. If this one thing is not there, with all the other things you still may not make it anywhere because you don't have the necessary balance. So, the other consecration, the seat consecration is essentially for stability. It is like the Mooladhara. When I look at the bull, it's like the bull. Just there, reliable, always there. Because that is very, very important. When one wants to dispense his own energies, when one wants to throw his life energies all over the place, having a stable, balanced seat is most important. If you… say, if you stand up on the floor, if your legs are hurting, your back is hurting, your head is paining, you can still stand. Suddenly, there was a drop of half an inch in the floor, you will become like this. Whatever else may be happening, you can still withstand and stand there. Suddenly, if there's a little lack of balance, you will find that is the most threatening thing, always. So, when you sit here to dispense your life energies, that is, you don't restrain your life energies to your physical form, you want to throw it all over the place, the most important thing is stability. Why, when we do bhavaspandana programs, when we do samyama programs, particularly the samyama, we are putting such rigid rules, many people describe it as worse than a boot camp. I'm happy that they feel that way because if you slacken the situation, you will see those kind of energies can… It'll be foolish to do that, first of all. It'll be just foolhardy to attempt such things where the situation is not stable and balanced. So stability becomes the most important thing when you really throw yourself all over the place. So the seat is essentially created for stability. It creates a stable base. It has that quality, it's happened very well today.
Kripa samudram sumukam trinetram jatadharam parvati vamabhagam sadashivam rudram anantarupam chidambaresham hritibhavayami.
They will bring some black paste for you. It is… it's been prepared. It's a black Mysore pak, okay? Don't eat it. Place a dot between your eyebrows, and they will also bring some black sesame seeds. You take the sesame seeds, three or four seeds, and place it, stick it to that paste. Why this is so, I will tell you right now. We'll start doing it, it'll take a certain amount of time to spread it around. Why this black? A black on your forehead, black cloth, black so many things, why? Something is black or something seems to be black for you because it reflects nothing, it absorbs everything. So, when you're in a space which is very vibrantly, positively charged, the best color to put on is black, because you want to take in as much as you can. When you're in a place where you're in the world, exposed to a million different things, then the best thing to put on is white, because you don't want to absorb anything, you want to reflect everything. So a black spot between your eyebrows and the black sesame is, I think most people who grown up in India are aware that sesame is a good receptacle. You're not supposed to receive this from anybody because they could easily charge it with negative energy and give it to you. It can also be charged with positive energy and given to you. It is just that it's a very good conductor. It conducts energy, it retains whatever it comes in touch with. So you will see that the prasad that is given in the Dhyanalinga is made of sesame. Whenever we want to transmit something through physical means, sesame and salt are two things which we make use of. So, we are also using some milk from a black cow, which is traditionally known as the Kara Pasu. And also, we have some venom from a black cobra. Both these things. Both these substances are very dear to him.
Priyaya Rajani Shakalaga जटाटवी गलच्चलत् प्रवाह पावितस्तले गलेवलम्ब्य लम्बिताम्बुजङ्गतुङ्गमालिका जटाटवी गलच्चलत् प्रवाह पावितस्तले बलेवलम्ब्य लम्बिताम्बुजङ्गतुङ्गमालिका
I see it's already not enough. People are spilling out. So essentially, last 3.5 to 4 months is when all the work was done. So many people, maybe many of you are here, have contributed to make this happen. And our brahmacharis, residents, our people who are in charge of the construction here, it's been a phenomenal feat. In the sense, I think during this period of construction, at least 50% of the days it was raining. You should have seen just 2 days, 3 days ago how the site was. So, they would be too embarrassed if I asked them to come up. But all these young boys, our brahmacharis and so many other residents and a few meditators, he looks a little weird, I said. Even I look nice and civilized in front of him. He's known to be weird. When Parvati insisted that she must marry him, or Sati insisted that he has to marry him. And he said, okay. Then the wedding was set up, all the guests came, people gathered, dressed to their wedding best, big celebration. Then the groom came, like that. And he was inebriated. And he had friends who were like, you saw them. He had really freaky friends who didn't even look human, and they were not. They were not human and they were not interested in pretending to be human. So they just came, all of them inebriated.
making cacophonic noises of their own, speaking in a language that nobody could understand, making loud noises, they came. They were almost about to pass the wedding and go on because they don't even know where they're going. The mother of the bride, Meena, saw him and she said, "Am I giving my daughter to this man?" She just looked at him and she fainted. If you can make your mother-in-law faint, you gotta be something. You gotta be really something if you have to make your mother-in-law faint. So he's like that. For the wedding, because when he was when people pleaded and when the bride pleaded, "Please, for my sake, get civilized, look better," then he transformed himself into an absolutely handsome man, so well dressed. That form of him is known as the Sundar Murti. He became a fabulous man, absolutely handsome and civilized, just for the wedding. Because you're not going to get married to him, so he's okay. We don't have to make him beautiful, he's okay like this.
Sadhguru, you drank cobra's venom with milk, why?
It's venom, it's not poison. You need to understand that. Venom affects you only when it gets into your bloodstream, not necessarily in your stomach. But invariably, there will be some opening somewhere, some small cut, some small ulcer, something, it will enter, it has. Plus my eyelids are a little droopy, otherwise I'm okay. So whatever I offer to him, how do I offer to him without me taking it on? Venom worked out very well for me a long time ago. Well, it took my life away, but it gave me something more precious than life. So venom did not work against me, venom worked for me, and it's continued to work for me. So, there are various aspects to it. My only concern is, if I speak about this, people will understand it in bits and pieces and take those bits and pieces and they may get bitten. Venom in small doses is very intoxicating. Too much of anything kills you. Even oxygen kills you, do you know this? Pongal can kill you. Too much pongal can kill you, believe me. Yes, it does. Probably pongal kills more people than cobra's venom. Yes, it does. Blood gets a little thick. Right now, if I try to climb a mountain, I may have a heart attack because blood is a little thicker than what it should be. But it makes the system so vibrant. Above all, I didn't want to offer it to him unless I'm willing to take it too. So, this, he likes it, he drinks it up. Solidified mercury takes in only three substances. Actually, we could experiment, but I don't want to do such things. With another piece of mercury, we could try this, you can see this actually. It will take in gold, it will take in silver, and it will take only cobra's venom. You give it some other venom, he won't take it. He's very choosy about it. He wants only that. These are only three substances that he will eat, nothing else he will touch. So that's not without reason, there is good reason for that. If you're made in a certain way, energy-wise, if you're in a certain way, if you're vibrant beyond a point, then the cobra's venom works in a completely different way on the system. You might have heard, traditionally, particularly in Tamil Nadu, some of the siddhas use this. If somebody's poisoned, then they will take many bites from the cobra and they will recover. Have you heard of this? Huh? Particularly in South. And one famous case in history is Bhima. Bhima was poisoned. And then he was put in a river where snakes bit him repeatedly, and he recovered from the poison that he had eaten. It can do many things to you. The reason why, the symbolism of the snake, the raised hood upon Shiva's head, worn as an ornament. Shiva is generally described as Trinetra, that means one whose third eye has opened, which essentially means that he has reached the peak of perception. Everything that can be perceived is perceived by him. He is using snake as a symbolism to, in a way, the statement is that he's as perceptive as a snake. What is so perceptive about a snake? A snake in, let's say, Velangiri Mountains, knows more about the spiritual sciences than any of you for sure, than any spiritual book that you can read on the planet, he knows more about it. Not intellectually, energy-wise, everything that's happened in this region, phenomenal things have happened in this region. If you want to know the science of, let's say, creating Dhyanalinga, they know energy-wise, not intellectually. If you can feel energy-wise and then being human, you can translate it into intellect. If you experience something, you are able to intellectualize and then articulate to whatever extent possible. That is essentially a human quality, but he simply knows it, energy-wise, by experience. If you have the necessary thing to just observe him, he will literally tell you almost anything that's happening upon this planet by the simple change in his behavior and how he handled himself. A snake is a very perceptive animal. You cannot call it an animal because it's above Shiva, not at his feet. He places it above himself, saying, "He's as good as me, right here, as good as me, not here." I could do wonderful things with snake venom to people. But today's world, if I attempt anything like that, even if the news spreads, if I gave you a drop of venom and even if you felt wonderful and even if the meter said you're feeling great, no, this could mean according to the criminal procedure code, it could be a crime. So we are living in a certain kind of world where there's no room for profoundness. Sometimes I wonder, why the hell am I still around? Because there's no room for profoundness. There's simply… the more profane you are, the better you are in this world today. That's how it is. Just about everything. When people can even pride themselves that they have no attention span, and they're very proud of it, they have a short attention span, and they're very proud of it, I can't believe what's happening to humanity. I'm from another time, unfit in this world probably. Nine types of poisons, they're mixed and made it into medicine in this land. You heard of Navapashanam? Mercury, which just about anywhere in the world people fear it as poison. It is a main ingredient of the Siddha medicine in South India. So what is poison and what is the elixir of life? Simply depends on who you are. And Shiva has always been known as the Neelakanta. That means a poisoned throat. So if you have a cobra hanging around your throat, you who wear a cobra as an ornament, you're bound to have your throat bitten often enough to turn blue. There isn't another man, there has never been another man with the capabilities and the knowing that this man was. There hasn't been one till then, since then. Everybody whom you worship in this land, if you are a Rama worshipper, if you are a Krishna worshipper, whoever, all of them worship Shiva. I'm not trying to set superiority, inferiority business, Vaishnavas and Saivas fighting. I'm not talking about them. I'm saying right through history, just everybody that you held as a divine being, all of them, Krishna never started his day without his doing morning Shiva Puja every day. Even on the day of the war, he was doing it. Particularly, Mahabharata mentions it, that even when the battle was on, even those 18 days, all others were busy, worried about what's going to happen today. But he did his morning Shiva Puja before he stepped out. In his own life, he was seen as a god, nothing less than that. Even he, because there hasn't been another one like him. With his capabilities, with his knowing, with his perception, it's been the highest that humanity has hit. Maybe we can't take pride in it, because maybe he was not human. Not maybe, he was not.
Sadhguru, how is the Adi Yogi Linga different from Dhyana Linga? And what aspect of Shiva is being brought out in the Adi Yogi Linga?
You cannot compare Dhyana Linga with anything else. There isn't another thing like this on the planet. I could do 1,000 of these things in my life, but I will not be able to do even one more of that. It's very different. Everything is different. It's a different dimension altogether. Well, in logical thought, there may not be much difference because that also has seven chakras, this also has seven chakras. Everybody has seven chakras only. Adi Yogi also has only seven. So, it's not the same. If I go into the detail, how it's not the same. But let's come to this. Adi Yogi will do something very specific. You can hire him for a job. You can't hire him for anything. Be simply that. So this guy is more useful? Yes, if you look at it in a certain way, he's more useful. But if you go by usefulness of life, you will lose your life. You know, there's a beautiful situation in Mahabharata, I've spoken about this probably in the Bhavaspandanas, probably in Samyama. A time comes when everybody has to be on some side, either this side or that side of the battle. So when the time to choose comes, the Pandavas choose Krishna. Krishna puts up this thing, either you can have me or you can have my army which is 10,000 strong. Duryodhana chooses the army, Pandavas choose Krishna. And beforehand Krishna says, I'm not going to fight, I'm just going to be there. So Pandava said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what happens, we want you to be with us, that's all. Duryodhana thought, these guys have a history of being stupid. And this is it, this crowns it all. You're going into a battle, instead of picking up a 10,000 strong army, you pick up one man who is not willing to fight. This is the peak of stupidity. But that made all the difference. That made all the difference. And that's how life is. For a specific purpose, he's been created for a specific purpose. He will serve that purpose wonderfully well. He's not been created for any specific purpose. He's simply there like the universe. An insect may have a purpose, a bird may have a purpose, an animal may have a purpose, a tree may have a purpose, a plant may have a purpose, a weed may have its purpose. But the universe has no purpose and the Creator has no purpose. So you can choose an insect against the Creator because it's more useful. So I'm just saying, if you go with a certain logic of utility, you will miss the fundamentals. You will miss the ultimate nature of life. So every time something comes up, don't compare it to Dhyanalinga. Ask, okay, is Bhairavi better than Dhyanalinga? Last time I think this question came. Now is Adi Yogi better than… Okay, there is no competition for him. But he's not in the race. But he's not in the race, but there's no competition for him. But he's never going to be in the race. So, every time something happens, don't compare. As I told you, I can consecrate 1,000 like this. If we have the money, the resource, we can do 1,000 Adi Yogis. Actually, today if we wanted, we could have consecrated maybe 10 at a time and kept it ready. Suppose you build a hall in your town, you could have just sent him. Yes, we could have done 10. We had enough energy and anyway all of you are there, you're 10,000, for 1,000 I could have done one at least. We could have easily done. 10 or more. But that's not the case with that. That cannot be done again. Just out of question. Definitely I cannot do it. I don't see anybody right now on this planet who can do it. Tomorrow if somebody comes, I don't know. Sometime in future if somebody comes, we do not know. But right now I don't see anybody on the planet who can do that. So I wish to… what should I tell you? I wish to congratulate you for having successfully consecrated Adiyogi Alayam, all of you. At a time like this, when I'm doing something like this, if you have experienced me as a nice person, I'm not a nice person when I'm onto something like this. Because this needs a certain kind of focus. This needs a certain kind of… not mental focus alone, it needs a certain kind of energy focus which doesn't spare any room for niceties of life and behavior and conduct. It's just that. So I've been in a certain way last 2 days. If it's been little too… whatever for you, if it's little been rude or scary, you haven't seen Shiva. He's rude and scary. It's been really wonderful being that all of you being here and absolute participation from all of you. It's been great having you here. And these things should always be done only with small groups of people, individuals who have a certain intimacy with you. Otherwise, it's risky. I assumed this intimacy with all of you. And it's truly wonderful that without any aberration, all of you went through this in a wonderful manner. I bow down to you for this. Wonderful.
Yogeshwaraya Mahadevaya Trayambakaya Tripurantakaya Trikagni Kalaya Kalagni Rudraya Nilakantaya Mrityunjayaya Trikagnikalaya Kalagni Rudraya Nilakantaya Mrityunjayaya Sarveshwaraya Sadashivaya Sarveshwaraya Sadashivaya Sarveshwaraya Sadashivaya Mahadevaya Namaha Mahadevaya Namaha Mahadevaya Namaha Mahadevaya Namaha.
Adiyogi Alayam to come up straight in 6 months, and that too an architectural wonder at that, is truly amazing.
10,000 people sitting together in a hall, all in whites and chanting, that was amazing.
I was not even almost aware that there were so many around me.
I could just feel the flood of energy.
When they cleared the hall, that's when I realized that the hall is that huge.
I felt that I was seeped into it, and it was very intense.
The whole space was just with this energy, blasting with this energy.
We drank the venom and the milk.
I felt My throat was choking at that point.
It was like I personally drank the venom.
Hey Shiva.
Somehow it cranked up my intensity.
It's almost magical because I didn't realize something like that was possible. But I witnessed it.
I just felt like the Shiva was there. I just couldn't take it anymore after that. It just looked like he was there.
Absolutely real and very tangible.
Tears were flowing because I felt so happy being here.
It's like a thunderbolt.
In the Western world, we don't have anything, a place like this.
How joyful I am from inside. And some unknown festival feeling is going inside.
I'm in love with this place.